Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7. Shaken, but not disturbed. In life, lots of things will come our way. Some of the things that will come our way that God allows to be presented to us will shake us. I don't want to deal with Christians this morning who act like when the right thing happened, your faith is not shaken. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to people like me who go through some stuff, have faith, and in spite of you having faith, that human side step up. And when the right thing or the wrong thing hits you, it knocks you back. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to you this morning that it's dealing with, and you're shaking because you have a wayward child, and that child is just refusing to act right. I want to talk to you this morning that is dealing with a sickness. And in spite of your faith, and in spite of you quoting that by his stripes we are healed, you still sick and you still don't feel good today. And that's the truth of the matter. I want to talk about people this morning that is going through something, and God is allowing that situation to shake you. But as God allows things in life to shake us, he doesn't want us to be disturbed by what's going on. See, because we all have sin, but that doesn't make us a sinner. You see, we're saved by the grace of God, and God knows who you are, and he knew who you would be, but in spite of that, he still chose you. He knew every crazy thing we would ever do. And so for every crazy thing that we'll ever do, God graced us in that area. And if we don't understand grace, then we don't understand why Jesus came, and that is to give us what we could not give ourselves. And ultimately, that is salvation. Now, when I say salvation, I don't mean waiting till you die to have a good time. Don't you hate it when you talk to folks and, oh, I'm struggling down here, but when I get to heaven, I don't want to go through hell on this earth waiting till I get to heaven. If the God that I serve is still alive, it looks like he ought to give me some good days right here on this earth. It looks like the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It looks like sometimes even on this earth I ought to see a glimpse of his glory.
Shake it.
But not disturb. I think that one of the most embarrassing and worst time in the history of mankind is when people was in slavery. Can you imagine being grown but yet somebody hanging you by a tree? Can you imagine being grown and watch somebody come and snatch your child away from you? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, can't even look someone in the eye because you're only 3/5 of a man? I told you it's going to make you uncomfortable this morning. Slavery was a bad thing. And the 13th Amendment to the Constitution abolished slavery. What a wonderful day. And throughout history, civil rights leaders have been marching and making the sacrifices so that you can enjoy the freedom that you enjoy today.
Come on.
And because you are so free and there's no more slavery, you have allowed yourself to be enslaved to the new slave master. We call it debt. Can't blame nobody for that one. The white man didn't put you down on that one. No, baby, you did that one by yourself. No one to blame but you. But you.
All right.
And so the Bible teaches Listen to what it says. The rich ruleth over the poor. And the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. Now, the new slave master or taskmaster that we have, this thing called debt, is so easy to get into. And because it's so easy to get into, it seems like education is the way to get out of it.
My Lord.
I beg to differ, because the truth of the matter, most educated folk, we call them college students, that's where you pick up the majority of your debt. That's where you walk out of college with a degree in one hand and $50,000 to $60,000 worth of debt in the other hand. I told you I was going to make you uncomfortable. I know you thought I was going to talk about Jesus will make a way. I know, no. I'm talking about you being enslaved to debt. That's what I'm talking about this morning. And so you walk out of college, a degree in one hand and debt in the other hand, and the truth of the matter is, you'll never pay off the debt.
All right.
You're preaching.
The sad part is that I only have a bachelor's degree.
My God.
Now I gotta compete with someone with a master's degree or a PhD or 20 years of experience. How are you gonna get a job in that economy? You see, going to school, getting an education is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
But knowing Jesus is a better thing. The favor of your Father will open doors that no degree, no diploma will ever open. You got to understand why you're doing what you're doing, and that's because God says, baby, I got some favor for you. And when God grace you, He'll allow you to step over all your inabilities, everything that you're not, because He says, I got purpose for you. Only if we'll study the Word of God, get biblical principles about how to manage money. And so you come to church and we give you this feel good sermon. Won't He make a way? And on and on and on. And you walk out the door and the debt is still there. God, give us a rhema word. Allow me to be sanctified and saved, but also give me the wisdom of Solomon so that I can deal with it. You see, what God is calling us to do is to understand that what we have is not ours.
Right.
And so because it's not yours, you have to be a good steward over it.
Right.
Now, the first thing that a steward understands is that I'm just managing it for someone else.
Right.
When you realize that what you have is not yours, you're managing it for God, you understand Jesus is going to return, and you got to give an account for everything that He's trusted to you. That's why sometimes we pray and ask God for something, and we don't get it, because God is saying, what are you doing with what's in your hand? See, what's in your hand may not be what your neighbors have, but thank God I got something in my hand. What's in my kitchen may not be what the next person have, but thank God I ate. My hair may not look like the next person, but thank God you got some hair. You may not be able to go to the beauty salon every week, but God, thank you for the little hair that I do have. My car may not start all the time, but thank you, Lord, every now and then she will start up. You better begin to thank God for what's already in your hand. God entrusts things to us. And when God begins to entrust things to us, one of the things that God entrusts to us, that is life. Now, if you're sitting here, I'm going to make the assumption that you are alive. If not, you're in the right place, baby. We can dress that thing today, too. Don't worry about it. If I make the assumption that you are alive, I'm going to make the assumption that you've made some mistakes in life. Now watch this. In spite of your mistakes in life, and God has not taken you out, He still is gracing you another chance. Now I know what you're thinking, and that is, I'm too old to catch up. I want to tell somebody who think they're too old, it doesn't take God as long as to fix something as it took you to break something. God will grace you just by putting one person in your presence. And so if you know that God is able, don't worry about where your blessing's coming from. Just know that God is going to send them. And even if they don't look like somebody else's blessing, Lord, I thank you for mine today. Because the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Baby, I don't know where it's coming from tomorrow, but I'm going to enjoy the manna from heaven today. Have you ever got caught up in a situation and God released you from it and you couldn't even explain it? That's manna, baby, when you don't even know what it is. It may be ugly, but it got you through. It may came from somebody that hates you, but it got you through. See, God is saying, if you bless me through your mess, I'll take that thing and I'll turn that thing around. Have you ever tried God going through something? Won't God show up in your mess? Won't God open a door? Won't God make the foolish stuff make good sense to you? Have you ever tried the Lord? I need to talk to somebody really tired, been down on your last, but somehow God stepped in. And when God stepped in, God began to show out. Folk who used to hate you, all of a sudden, now they're moving out of your way because they see the anointing of God as it flows from your life. And you can't stop the anointing, because the anointing will give you the power to move mountains. You can't stop the anointing, because the anointing will unlock doors. You can't stop the anointing, because the anointing will give you promotion in a bad economy. Baby, your life may be shaking right now, but you need to know, you don't need to be disturbed anymore. God knows exactly what's going on. And the truth of the matter, every time you read your Bible, and everybody was going through something, and there were turmoil, on the end of a turmoil, God always set up a Christian. Look at the Bible. Every time people went through something, at the end of their journey, God always transferred the rest. The Bible declares that God, in the end time, will begin to transfer the wealth. Watch this, baby. But He got to shake some stuff up to get it to move. He got to shake up your house to get it to move. He got to allow somebody to walk out so somebody else can walk in. He got to allow your account to hit zero so He can add some ones and some fives in front of you. And so God begins to shake us. And so as God begins to shake it, and the whole world is shaking, and the economy is bad, and everything about the economy is bad, and everybody's being shifted and moved over here, and there you are, oh fool of God. You sitting there full of faith. You sitting there saying, they may lay them off, but they ain't gonna lay me off. Your life may get turned off, but my life ain't gonna get turned off. Because the truth of the matter, where you are is not predicated on a paycheck. You know that little part-time check you getting? It can't do it anyway. That thing too little for what you're doing right now. You know that. And that's why God keep on gracing you. And you sitting there trying to figure out how $500 unemployment is doing all that. Baby, it ain't doing it. It's nobody but the love of God that's doing it. You can quit trying to figure that thing out.
So He calls a shaking. And as God begins to shake some stuff, He's shaking. Watch this. In the shaking is God knocking, saying, can I interrupt your life? I know you thought you had it going on, but you haven't seen nothing yet.
Excuse me, but I need to interrupt right here.
Yeah.
Now, the interruption may be a little bit painful.
Painful.
But hang in there with me.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking you somewhere. And so as I begin to knock on your little door and slide inside of your little heart, because I'm coming in to interrupt you. And I need to interrupt you because you've been thinking you the man. You've been thinking you the woman. You've been thinking you driving this boat. And God is saying, I just want to interrupt because I want to drive just a little while. See, he doesn't want to be your co-pilot. He wants the whole ship to himself. And so he comes in, and when he steps in, he calls an interruption. Now, when God calls an interruption, then he must intervene because he left an opening. And so when God calls an interruption, take something out, he has to intervene and put the Holy Spirit there. And so what you thought you needed, you discovered you really don't need it. Because if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me, baby, that's all the fuel that I need to make it to the other side. In spite of the storms that I'm going through, I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because in the world, I'm kind of jacked up. In the world, my credit kind of messed up. In the world, my attitude is kind of messed up. In the world, I don't quite got it. But he that dwelleth in me, when I slide out of the natural, move into the spirit, God intervene in my life. When God intervenes in your life, then he begins to inject in your life. You know, put some blessings in there. Put some mercy in there. Put some favor in there. Put some grace in there. Put some dollars in your account. Have you ever been walking with the Lord and all of a sudden he began to interject some stuff in you? Have you ever been walking with the Lord and all of a sudden he began to multiply? And you try to keep track of his blessings and you can figure that thing out. Every time you called the bank, by every time you went online, looked like somebody made a deposit. I need to talk to somebody who you can't even add to your account because you can't keep up with God's blessings. I need to talk to somebody when the doctor said that you would die. I need to talk to somebody that you listen to the word of God, and God is saying to you, by my stripes, baby, I am healed. I need to talk to somebody who all your blessings, it seems like they run out. I need to talk to somebody that God is saying, just be calm, just be still. I'm going to supply all of your needs. Now, the thing about supplying the needs is that when you get something from the supply room, it's already paid for. Sweat over your blessing. Baby, you don't gotta sweat over your man. You don't gotta sweat over your wife. Baby, God said it shall be done. You ain't gotta sweat over the small stuff in life. You just gotta sit back and let him do some shaking. In the midst of him shaking, don't you be disturbed. You need to know that he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You need to understand that even though your world has been shaking upside down, God is still in control. You need to understand that in spite of what you're going through, God is saying to your situation, peace be still. You see, God has the power right now to allow you to go through something. And as you begin to go through something, you think that God has left you. And he says, no, baby, right here, I'm just developing some character. You know, the problem with character is can't nobody give you no one. The problem with character is that you got to work for it. The problem with character is that you got to earn it. The problem with character is that you got to realize that you're created in the image of God, and he took you through a black hole so he can develop that picture, develop that image. You need to know that you got a God inside of you. He'll fight for you all day long. You need to know that inside of you, you got a God that is willing and able. You need to know that there's a God inside of you, and he says, I never sleep, never slumber. What you doing up all night long? Baby, rest, rest, rest. Rest, rest, baby, rest. He says, I'm right here. And you need to know that God is not a God that is in heaven, but he's a God that's in your heart. That's why he says, if you open the door, I'll come in and I'll sit with you. In other words, he said, I'll come in and I'll commune with you. And whatever you're going through, because you know what my plans is in your life, will come in and will come into union.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Together.
Yes, Lord.
God wants to commune with you.
Yes, he does.
Can he come in?
Yes.
Can he come in?
still saying, yeah, Lord, yeah. Come on. Can he come in? He simply wants to come in. As the deacons come forth and we open the doors of the church.